Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Yeah, in fact, right now we're going to be sharing with you what's happening July the 16th, 2016, in the Nation's Mall, right there where David's tent is. Another event's going to be happening called Reset 2016. Watch this.
You and I, we aren't that different. In our hearts, we know that division is tearing us apart. It's killing us. We watch as our generation turns its back on the church. Many burned by her judgment, few seeing her love. Something needs to change, and many believe it's too late. But we are the ones who believe. We believe Jesus changes everything. He changed you. He changed me. He can change our nation. True belief is demonstrated when we act. To lift the sound, to reach out, to come together with anyone who believes. Shattering barriers that have kept us apart. On July 16, 2016, we're calling over a million people to meet on the National Mall to stand for Jesus in historic unity, prayer, worship, and a call for catalytic change. We are one family, one nation, together who believe.
This is amazing, yeah. Steve, because, you know, I grew up, you know, when you're in school and you're learning about different decades and what happened, you know, I grew up and learning that the 60s was about, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and Woodstock, a bunch of young people that did drugs and were just partying out there in some open field. Let it be that this generation, future generations find out that this was the season where, listen, thousands, millions of young people and Christians from all over the world gathered just to worship God, and let there be a new narrative in the land.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, I'm so super pumped because this kind of reminds me of what happened during the Jesus movement where so many of hippies at the time, they were just coming to God, man, by the droves.
Well, I think about it too, it's like you're talking about the 60s and that generation, and it reminds me of what was said about David, and it said that he was faithful in his generation. And it's like we got to remind ourselves that this is our generation. This is the moment that we're going to answer for. This is the moment that God is going to say, what did you do with the generation that I placed you in? How did you respond to me and my presence? And it's just like, this is so exciting to see how people are just saying, you know what? I am desperate, and I have got to respond to see. I've got to respond to Jesus moving in my life.
Yeah, I mean, this event's going to be awesome. I mean, Jesus Culture is going to be there. Hillsong, Bethel, Lecrae is going to be there. So many. Francis Chan's going to be there. I mean, so many are just coming and saying, "I just want to be a part." In fact, I want you to hear from Francis Chan now on why he feels Reset 2016 is so important and so timely for where we are right now in our nation. Watch this.
I love the concept of reset because I really believe that's exactly what the church needs right now desperately, is to just say, let's just start all over. Let's open up this book again. Okay, what should the church look like? What should a believer look like? It's so easy to just kind of follow a flow and you start, we all veer off. We're prone to wander. We just follow these different paths. And that's the whole point of the word, is that we would just stop. There are different people throughout history that go, wait. Look what this book says. Look what it actually says. I think we got off here. I think we started heading down this road. Let's start over. Let's do this thing right. And a lot of times we just try to tweak or turn a little bit or adjust by 2 or 3 degrees. But then there's other times when we go, gosh, I think it's so messed up that maybe we should just start all over and go, okay, what type of life should I live? And what does it really mean to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, and to be the church?
That's so important because right now it's like we need to get back to the original intent. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just go back to the beginning. Yeah. Because today, you know, you say the word Christian and it means so many things to so many different people, when the reality, it just meant little Christ. I mean, it's like these people are just like this guy, this man named Jesus Christ, just like him, little Christ. And today it's like, what exactly? You almost want to say, I'm a follower of Christ. Why? Because I follow him. And if we can get back to a reset, back to the original intent, I believe we're going to see some major, major things happening in our nation. With that, I want you to listen to Nick Hall. He's the founder of Reset, the one who's putting this thing together. And he's going to share about more about the vision and what their hopes and desires all about for this summer, July the 16th, at the Nation's Mall, 1 million people crying out to God. Watch this.
Well, so Outcry was actually something that was birthed in the hearts of many individuals coming together, but just this burning passion that God's doing something in the church today and that it's time to really just unleash that kind of noise and a celebration of God's movement in our day. And so I can't take kind of sole credit for anything in that regard. But man, it's been incredible being out here as these ministries and movements and bands, I mean, Carrie Job and Hillsong United and Passion and Bethel Music, all coming together to lift up Jesus and celebrate the fact that today is one of the most exciting days in history to be alive and to be a follower of Jesus. And as you said, all of us are pointing for this reset towards a gathering on the National Mall. And so that's really something that we've been working on and are working on, and that's next summer, July 16th of 2016, when we have the National Mall booked. We have it permitted for over 1 million people, and we're praying for a historic, generation-defining moment right in our nation's capital. You know, our prayer with Reset is really, you think of your phone, your computer, it doesn't work right, you hit the Reset button and it gets it working again, you know, whatever piece of technology it is. All of our lives and even our nation, we believe, we're all made to work a certain way. And we can easily get off track. We can do the wrong things. We can think about the wrong things. We can do the wrong things. But yet there's this supernatural reset. I mean, scripture, we call it being born again, right? We call it, or you talking about maybe having a revival in your life or in your church or in your community. And we're talking about it in terms of a reset, in terms of saying, man, what does it look like to have a life reset or even our nation to have a moment where we would come back to the purpose that we were made for. And we really believe that the time is now. We believe that literally God is moving, that these streams are coming together. There's so much prayer happening now, and we believe it's because God is intending to bring a reset, to bring revival, spiritual awakening to our land again today. And so 2016, as you said, it's a historic year, it's an election year, but we just believe it's God's time. And there's something that has happened throughout history as just people have gathered. I mean, throughout scripture, we see just the nation assembling in one place. Throughout history, there's been these generation-defining moments. And we believe it's time to call the people together. And we believe the National Mall in D.C., it's our nation's front yard. It's the living room, if you will. And so we want to call the nation to gather for no other agenda other than Jesus. We believe there's only one answer. There's only one solution. We can't vote our way into kind of the right direction. You know, we can't legislate our way into it. You know, we need a Holy Spirit heart change. And so that's what we're believing God for. You know, we're praying for over 1 million. So some people have said 1 million is not a big enough goal. So we'll see. You know, we want every inch of that National Mall full. We really believe that, you know, in John 17, when Jesus prayed that we would be one, that there was something about that unity that communicates to the world that Jesus is the Messiah. When he says, I pray that they be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, so that the world would believe. And so we're praying for that kind of unity. And that can only happen as we all come together. So this is you and your friends and your family members, your neighbors, classmates, everybody. And just hopping in the minivan, hopping in the school bus, whatever it is. Let's gather, let's meet together, and let's pray for revival in our day. I think there's an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and wants to keep us divided, divided across denominational lines, divided across, you know, whatever different views on maybe the Holy Spirit or different views on different things. But it's like, man, like, what does it look like for the church to be one? What does it look like for God's people to come together now? And so I would just join us in praying that literally the biggest movements and the smallest movements, that we would just all get in the boat together and say, hey, let's go after this country. Let's lift up a noise and a voice that's louder than any of us can do on our own.
This is so exciting. Steve, I want to go. You want to go?
Yes,
man,
I'm
let's
there.
Go.
You want to go?
Listen, sign up if you want to be a part of it. Pray, press into it. The wonderful thing about technology today is live stream. You can be connected. You know, one in spirit with what's happening. Yeah. But this is just entirely too cool. And I just believe this is going to be an amazing, amazing summer, and just what God's getting ready to do is just going to be so mind blowing. And I'm so looking forward to it. You know, there's so many people today that are just depressed. They're down and out because they don't know God. They don't know Jesus. Listen, life doesn't make sense outside of God. Maybe you're watching today and you don't know him. I want to tell you that Jesus has a plan for your life. He died for you. You're valuable because God gave the most expensive thing known to the universe. He gave his son for you. And that's how we determine things that are valuable. You know, are we willing to pay for it? God paid for you with his son. And so he has a plan for you. And he can forgive you of all of your sins. And you can spend eternity with him. You just have to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today. And if you do that today, listen, we're going to pray with you at the end of this program. We want to know about it. Contact us. And we can get you some resources to help you along your journey. You know, maybe over some time you've been watching what's happening on the news. And maybe you've lost hope for America. I hope that today, our hope is that you've been encouraged and your faith is just built up to believe, you know, that God's getting ready to move and do something.
God's still in
amazing.
Control.
I want you to see what One Cry just put together about the Second Great Awakening and Dwight, the grandson of Jonathan Edwards. It's a reenactment, but it's really cool to find out what happened right before the Second Great Awakening. Watch this.
Did our nation and its history. Unless you know the facts, it's easy to assume that what we face today in the 21st century is as bad as it's ever been in America. But the situation 200 years ago was possibly even worse. At that time, war-weary Americans faced another impending war. There was a real estate collapse, social unrest, political rancor, coarse sensuality, and topping it all off were empty, ineffective churches. Feeding this pathetic situation were the man-centered ideas that energized the French Revolution. But don't just take my word for it. Let's hear from someone who saw it firsthand. Let's travel to New Haven, Connecticut, and move the clock back in time to the late 1700s.
Welcome to Yale University during the late 18th century. Perhaps I should introduce myself. My name is Timothy Dwight. I was president of Yale College during this shameful period of our history. My grandfather was Jonathan Edwards, one of the great revivalists during the First Great Awakening. How grateful I am that he was not alive to witness what a pagan country we became. Throughout New England, there was a profaneness of language, drunkenness, gambling, lewdness, and a cold, contemptuous disregard for every moral and religious subject. Nowhere was this disdain for religion reflected more vividly than on our college campuses. At Princeton, only 5 students could be found who were not members of the filthy speech movement. At Williams College, they held a mock communion service. Students in New Jersey stole a Bible from a local church and burned it in the streets. And at Harvard, they took a poll, and not one believer could be found. These were dark days in New England. But then, a miracle happened. God's light began to shine.
Yes, God's people began to cry out to God. They used the pattern that Timothy Dwight's grandfather, Jonathan Edwards, prescribed. Edwards called for extraordinary prayer for revival that arises from the explicit agreement and visible union of God's people. As a result, both in the frontier and the cities, God began to move in powerful ways, bringing many thousands to faith in him.
Prayers were being answered, for God poured out his spirit on our students in a wonderful way. And not just on our campus, for what happened at Yale was just the spark for a series of student revivals that ignited and set aflame the colleges of New England. In fact, what God did on those campuses was really just one small part of a great spiritual awakening that God was spontaneously igniting in city after city up and down the entire eastern seaboard.
The impact was so great at Timothy Dwight's Yale that 3/4 of Yale's graduating class in 1802 chose to go into full-time vocational Christian ministry. But that was only one place. Notre Dame historian Mark Knoll says that the Second Great Awakening had the greatest social impact of any event in the history of America.
The Second Great Awakening shook the country to its very foundations. During the first half of the 19th century, the nation's population increased fourfold. During that same period of time, church membership increased tenfold. This great revival sparked the anti-slavery movement, prison reform, the temperance movement, child labor laws, inner city missions, and the founding of many colleges. Dozens of home mission societies were founded throughout America. And by 1834, the total annual income from all benevolent societies rivaled the budget of the entire federal government. When God's glory was visited in our churches, virtually every aspect of society felt the impact. And so once again, God's glory was revealed in our land.
And it can happen again. What is it going to take? Followers of Christ turning from sin and turning to God in repentance, seeking Him with our whole hearts and crying out to Him in unison together. Please join the movement at onecry.com. It's not time for despair. It's time for prayer and taking the action together as He leads us.
Dear God, send the third great awakening.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.